Peace, family. Welcome to another episode of Versus Mike History. I'm your host, Mike History, and I'm here with my guy, Niles. We're going to get into some music that drops throughout the year, talk about some of the projects that we have been spinning nonstop, and we're just going to kick the shit. But before we get into that, first things first, I just want to address the fact that, you know, the pod hasn't been here for quite some time. We took the summer off to delve more into community partnerships and get into touching the people in real life with real life events. So that's the reason why we've taken a step back. And then also there's just a matter of repurposing the audio platform to make sure that everybody's getting the most out of it, making sure that we're just making the best content that we can and not just going with the flow of week to week. And yeah, just making sure that we're producing high quality content. The goal is to, you know, be putting together content that the people want to listen to. And, you know, sometimes you just got to take a step back, listen to the people in real life, and then come back to the table with more to offer. So that's where we are right now. Versus Mike History has started as a podcast, but has expanded into a whole production house operation with multiple projects under our belt. And we know we got some more things up coming up ahead in November that I'm excited about. And I just wanted to put you guys on notice about. And yeah. So we'll go ahead and hop in, and first we'll touch base with Niles and see how this brother's been doing. How's your year been, my guy?
Can't complain, man. You know, it's been a good year. You know, we on the right side of the ground, so every year is a good year, you feel me? It's been cool. You know, a little expensive, but it's been cool, though. You
know? Say that again.
It's been a little crazy. You know, inflation been wilding. But, you know, I can't complain, honestly. Everything's straight.
That's beautiful. Beautiful news.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into it. You know, this is I'll consider this like a music rundown of sorts. And this is pretty good way to hop back into the flow of everything. I'm curious to know, you know, your opinion on how the year has been on music side. I know that, like, we've had a lot of discussions online this year about the state of music. People saying R&B is dead, the decline in hip hop sales. You know, people like Taylor Swift re-recorded albums, excuse me. And then just, you know, the big business that touring has become. So we got a lot to touch and a lot to cover. And I just want to get your initial thoughts on how music's been this year.
Music been straight, honestly. I mean, I think the decline in hip hop sales, I wasn't surprised when I was hearing about that and seeing it, you know, because hip hop is definitely, I'm not going to say it's, well, yeah, I mean, in a way it's mass produced. It's the biggest genre in the world. So it's definitely a format that we all stick to, and that's what sells records. But at the end of the day, we people, we changing every day. We changing, you know, every month, every year. We want to hear some, I don't want to say hear something different, but we want to see things be approached a little different. You know what I mean? It's been a real same process with a lot of artists, but all in all, it's still some good hip hop coming out. Good hip hop, good R&B. I don't know where you got the R&B is dead part, because R&B been alive and kicking the past couple of years for me, truthfully. But,
well, you know, that was the whole thing behind Puff's rollout earlier this year.
Before the Love album came out.
He's R&B is dead, and everybody, what?
Yeah, no. R&B is definitely not dead. In fact, R&B was kicking a little bit, you know, more than hip hop has been in the past couple of years. So, nah, R&B rocking, but everything else has been, you know, on point. A lot of good stuff came out this year. Taylor Swift, I mean, that's just what's going on with her. Is one, she up. I'm not even gonna sit here and hate on Shorty. She up. Like, the fact that she could re-record shit and get double the copies is ridiculous. But in the same token, it's like, it's definitely a privilege situation, because if you're in a bad, you know, predicament with the manager that took the rights and the masters and all that shit, some of us just charge to the game. She just fucking re-recorded the whole shit. Like, that's just privilege. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, I don't even know what to say about that, you know, but it's wild.
Well, this is the thing. Well, first and foremost, I want to speak to her re-recording her music. For people who aren't in the know, like she was represented by
Scooter Braun.
an executive named Scooter Braun, who
Man.
represented other artists like Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande, and they had a bad falling out, and Scooter Braun basically just refused to give her back her
Yeah,
masters,
gank
which,
that ass.
I
Got
mean,
ganked.
when it comes to an artist at the caliber of Taylor Swift, I mean, it's understandable. Like it's like somebody asking you to give back gold bricks. Like, I don't think I'm good. But speaking to that just a bit further, because the numbers came back for Taylor's the 1989 Taylor's version, and she did 1.5 debut
1.5
week
is
for an
crazy.
album that
That
I
came out
believe,
12 years ago.
yeah. So,
Jesus Christ.
and then a news article from Billboard dropped earlier today that said record labels are set to enforce new rules that prevent artists from re-recording their projects from 10 to 30 years ago following the success of Taylor's version. And I find that so funny because prior to Taylor Swift recording her all of her music over, there were plenty of artists who were doing this. It's just that they weren't successful at it. So the fact that it was a rule that was enforced that the labels didn't see as valuable until somebody huge came along and re-recorded their music, I find it interesting. And it just goes to show the state of the industry in terms of like how profitable it is for the artist versus the label.
I mean, but my thing is, I like to keep things at face value. My thing is, Taylor Swift ain't really that popping. That's where my head be at most of the time when it comes to her and her music. It's like, yo, if this was like Michael Jackson or some shit, I'd be like, all right, cool, I get it. But like, she ain't that pop to me. She ain't that popping. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, here, I don't want to. I mean, I already said I was going to hate on her. Here, I'm hating on her. But it's like, she's not, she can't sing that well. The music, I don't really hear it in the streets. I don't hear the shit. I don't hear Taylor Swift in public. I just don't. And the fact that it's, doing this well is, I mean, I guess it's, good shit on her, but I don't know. It's very weird. It's very, very weird.
Definitely, it's definitely odd for somebody of for someone of her level, you would think that there would be more virality behind her content. Like, I know that we're black men speaking on a white woman, but
Definitely.
it is indicative that like I feel like a lot of the time where we see Taylor Swift, she's kind of being forced upon us versus, you know, just recapping,
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
just looking back on a Renaissance tour, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the ecosystem that surrounded that tour. The viral videos, the tour videos, the costumes and outfits that went along with it, the merch, all of the
Travis Kelce
visuals.
shit that is absolute force fed up upon us, the whole NFL shit. We
Yeah,
ain't asked for none of
versus her involvement with the NFL, which has been very
that.
much forced
For
upon
real.
audiences. So I definitely can speak to that because it's, you know, it's very odd. And I would say that people are more invested in the brand of Taylor Swift versus the content that she produces. And I think that she would be better off, not better off, but like she will find an easier place to land post her career if she figures out how to take whatever fan base she has now and transfer that to like a different industry or a different venture. Because if she can't keep the same type of fan base that she has now for music and bring that to other places, then you know what I'm saying? No one wants to be an artist forever. No one wants to tour forever. Or just live under the thumb of a label. Like it's ridiculous.
No, I think she'll be fine. I mean, she already did the tour, the movie for the tour or whatever that's gonna drop, I think, in a couple of days. That's gonna have crazy box office sales. I mean, I think she Gucci, bro. Like, the fan base is insufferable. These white women don't give a fuck what she do. They gonna support it either way. Like, it is what it is. I mean, I just wish that the music was better. That's my whole thing. I'm all about the music. Like, I mean, people can, the numbers has become the talk, in music for God knows how long. I just wish the music was just better to where it made more sense while I was reaching this level. You know what I'm saying? Like when Billie Eilish came out and won 8 Grammys, and then you heard the album and go, "Oh, I get it. It's a great album." You know, when Adele drops her album every 5, 6 years, it's great music and accolades come with it. You know what I mean? I just find it weird how she's popping, but nobody plays her shit. Like I don't hear it. I only hear it on commercials or whatever, like movie trailers. I don't get, like I don't hear it in the streets. I don't see music videos. I don't see it on social media. It's just weird. That's all I'm saying.
Crazy. All right. Well, let's move on to R&B, because that was a very big topic of discussion earlier in the year. And we've we've gone on to see multiple great R&B projects be released this year. And I think that even in quarter four, we're still going to get a couple of more projects, a few more projects that are impactful to, the releases, the major releases of the year. One of the major highlights that, and I'll get to your opinion on where R&B has been all year in general, but I want to speak on this really quickly. The fact that going back a couple of months to when Coco Jones won Best New Artist at the BET Awards, I thought that that was very major. And the reason for that is because one, her album did well, but outside of her album doing well, she now has a platinum record in ICU
Yeah, good joint.
and great, amazing record.
Yeah.
And her winning Best New Artist at the BET Awards is huge to me because Ice Spice was also in the category, and Ice Spice had an amazing year. So if we're taking BT's opinion at face value at the very least, and they're telling us that this is the artist that you should be looking out for, and not that artist over there who we see everywhere, I think that's very indicative of, the direction of where R&B is headed in terms of quality. It seems like we're moving into an era of prestige R&B, and it's very exciting to me because we haven't really been there for quite some time. I would say for like at least 5 years, we haven't really been in a zone of like people holding our R&B to a high regard, or viewing R&B artists as people who they need to collaborate with in order to make good music. And it seems like we're getting back around to that space, especially with the decline of hip hop sales and things of that nature. And I just want to get your opinion on, the year in total.
Me personally, I think R&B has been good past 4 or 5 years. I mean, I would like to think after 2016, when we got Blonde, Sia the Table, and Fraudian, all in like 3 weeks, I think that was the beginning of something special. You know what I mean? I think over the past couple of years, we've gotten a lot of classics. I think now it's kind of just we just fine-tuning certain things with other artists, and it's also been a little bit of a little bit of misleading with genres. I think a lot of black artists are not being labeled R&B, but they're making R&B music. You get what I'm saying? So like, I think we're good. I mean, like it's just some small changes. You know, Coco Jones had a really good year. Lucky Day, I think, is about to drop soon. I think I saw it on Twitter recently. He's about to drop soon. We got a good classic from Snow Allegra. Sir gave us a classic in the past 5 years. Like it's Ari Lennox is popping, SZA's popping, Jasmine Sullivan's popping, Joyce Rice is popping, Her's popping. Every like it's the females are whooping our ass. Let me get that. Let me just get that case in point in right now. Like the women have been washing us in R&B and rap for a good minute. Like they've been providing something new, something creative. You can feel the passion in the music with a good chunk of them. Like they on our ass. I ain't gonna hold you. we real unmotivated right now in R&B and hip hop. So I think R&B is straight. I think it's in a better state right now than hip hop is. Well, the hip hop that we see the most of, or mainstream hip hop. You know, I think it's doing just fine. I don't really see a decline in that happening. It's only gonna get higher because the only way is up. You know what I mean? But I think R&B has been good. You know, honestly.
And I agree. Do you have anybody on your radar that you think that people should be looking out for right now?
Let me think. I just tapped into this rap, the singer named Fabo.
Okay.
You know,
P H
yeah,
A B O.
Phabo. Yeah, Phabo. He got some good joints. Osmino's the latest album was really, really good. Let me see. I mean, this could be R&B. Actually, it's leaning towards R&B. There's a singer, rapper, producer from London named Rags Original, who is incredible. Like, he has an album called Bear Sugar. That is the album of the year for me. It is the album of the year. I was playing, actually, my man Drew, I was playing in the car. Shout out to Drew, Litty Boys All Day. He was playing in the car when he was going to Brooklyn, and or coming home from Brooklyn, and it was incredible. Like, incredible project. He got it locked. And to me personally, Cleo Soul's the illest singer in the game right now. The illest singer in the game right now. Like, she is the illest. Like, there is nobody is fucking with Cleo Soul right now. Nobody.
Not even that. Make me swear.
No,
That
no, she no, that Tyler joint is popping. I ain't gonna lie,
Tyler
it's
got it. I
popping.
ain't gonna lie.
It's popping. It's popping. It's a good joint. It's popping for sure. But we gotta see more. We gotta see more from Shorty. But nah,
I
it's
hear
definitely
so.
up. That water joint is definitely hitting. But I'm talking like just music that's gonna stand the test of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cleo Soul has been four for four for like every release she's dropped is fucking crazy, man. Like, her voice is incredible. What Inflow does with the production, it's incredible. Like, they ain't playing. They ain't playing. They
Must
not playing at all.
agree. And she's working hard, dropping two projects in a year.
Yep, two projects in a year, and we all kind of felt that because with the Heaven joint, we was like, oh yeah, this is cool, but we want a little more. And then Gold came out like 2 weeks later, and it solved all our problems. Like, all right, you're cool, we straight. You know what I mean? But yeah, she's the illest, man, the illest thing in the game right now, Cleo Soul, without a doubt.
All right. Well, all right, let's go ahead and get into the wrap of it all then. I guess in terms of the whole year in scope, and then I guess we'll get closer to the releases that have just passed. Hip hop has been in decline from a sales standpoint, but overall, I think that people have been what's the word I'm looking for? People have been exaggerating the state in which hip hop is in. I think that the way we view hip hop today is problematic because we view it as, oh, well, it's the most popular genre in the world. Yes. It is definitely the most genre, the most popular genre in the world. But we have to remember that it wasn't always the most popular genre in the world. And it might not always be the most popular genre in the world. So hip hop sales in decline doesn't mean that there is a lack of quality hip hop artists to listen to. And in addition to that, I think that the artists that are considered mainstream aren't indicative of where hip hop is, like music in general has about 10 artists who run everything. You know what I'm saying? Just across all genres. So the fact that we keep trying to take artists from hip hop, and not even just hip hop, I'll say across the board. We got about 10 artists from across all genres who run the show. And the labels do this thing where they keep trying to take an artist who creates music in one genre and bring them up to that level of where the other 10 are, the Sam Smiths and the Adeles and Beyoncés. And the newer generation of artists, they don't want to create one genre anymore. You know what I'm saying? Somebody might want to sing, somebody might want to rap. Like, we have artists like Drake now. We have Drake who raps and sings. Like, that was his whole thing. Like,
Yeah, from the beginning.
that was his literally his thing from the beginning. Like, oh, this is a rapper who can sing too. Like, that's his thing. We got Beyonce who's rapping now. She hasn't made a whole rap project, and I wouldn't consider her a rhymer, but we have artists of high caliber who are known for one thing. Dipping and dabbling into other genres. We have a Taylor Swift who just did a record with Ice Spice. Like, these things aren't so clear and cut anymore. And then we got black country artists, you know, who are just opening up that demographic of opening up the audience to a new demographic. To bring it back to hip hop, I think that we need to give hip hop more grace in terms of the way it expands and evolves. And we also need to recognize that, you know, if we aren't satisfied with where the genre is, then we can always go back and listen to the shit that already came out. Like, and I kind of want to get your
Reference
feedback
points.
on that as well.
Honestly, it's reference points, man. Like we want to make the music that we've always wanted to hear. You know what I mean? I think that we should stick with that. You know what I mean? I think a lot of us, we see what works and then we adapt. We kind of go to what works. When I think hip hop is all about, you know, is just being yourself. Honestly, like if you can be yourself and make hip hop, you'll be just fine. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of us, we just find the like this year alone, we got the whole Jersey Club takeover where we just take a fucking sample that we all know, put it over the Jersey Club beat, and then rap all loud and shit for a minute and a half, and it becomes a hit. You know, when you can just be yourself, you know, just be yourself, and I think you'll be fine. You know, I mean, how can I say this? It's like, I don't know. I mean, just hip hop is like, what's the album sell anyway? You know, all we do is we on Spotify, Tidal, and Apple Music. There is no such thing as an album sale. 1,500 streams is a fucking album sale. Like somebody can stream something for 1,300 and it's still not an album sale. It is what it is. The lack of album sales doesn't really, it doesn't match. Like people still listen to the music whether it's sold or not, because there is no such thing as a fucking album sale anymore. People don't go to stores and spend 99 on a fucking album. You know what I mean? So I think if people really just stick to what they like, we will, one, we will come up with better artists, and then we'll get better music. That's really what it is. I think all of us trying to stick to what works, what's hot. And I totally get it, because we all do it. It's been that way since the beginning of time. But I think it'll be a little more impactful if we just realize what we liked. Or make what we think is missing, and just stick with that. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of great artists in hip hop. And like I was going back to the genre thing, you said it was black country artists. A lot of black country artists are getting kind of blackballed because, well, any genre really, they get blackballed because they don't look at this as country. They look at this as black music when they could just be country. Like there is no. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with Tizo Touchdown's album being labeled as rap music? Why gotta be labeled as rap? You know, like that's not a rap album to me. That's a good amount of rock in that motherfucker. Like that's a great album. That's an album of the year candidate. You know what I mean? So I just think we gotta do more. We gotta do better with the genres. We'll figure it out throughout. You know, as they progress. But I think hip hop will be better off if we just kind of just make what we like and then make what is missing, and then just tweak from there.
I agree. And I think that we just, you know, it's impossible to avoid, but we just have to sort of reel it back in terms of the influence of analytics on the genre. Like, this has never been it. First of all, we already were getting into bad territory once we started to judge hip hop albums off of sales, because this wasn't always even a genre that we could monetize. So the fact that that even became a metric for hip hop in general And of course, that wasn't from the fans' perspective. That was from the artist's perspective, with the 50s and Wayne's of the world, and the Hove's of the world also. But we still have to acknowledge that, like, if we don't even know what a stream is, why does it matter how many streams an artist did in their first week? What does it matter what an artist, if an artist has 1 billion streams, and we know that somewhere in the world there's a room set up where there's 100 phones playing this artist's song over and over and over again for 8 hours at a time, then how can we trust the numbers to begin with? You know what I'm saying? Like, is what point is what is the point of using the numbers as a reference if we don't even know if the numbers are completely accurate?
Right. Yeah, we know what works. We just focus on the wrong things. You know what I mean? Like I Vanilla Ice sold 15 million. We fucking hate Vanilla Ice. You get what I'm saying? MC Hammer sold 20 million. We don't care about MC Hammer. Let's just be real. You know, and that happened 30 years ago. You know, I think when you come across artists that are, you know, that are showing themselves in music and creating good music in the process, they're the ones that are gonna last. You know what I mean? The streaming shit is here now, but who's to say it's gonna be here 10, 15 years from now? You know what I mean? Like, that's just really what it is. We thought Napster and Rhapsody was the end all be all, and now it's we on this. You know what I mean? Things progress. You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, we gotta just keep elevating. You know, we keep elevating as people, keep elevating as artists, and the music will elevate. You know what I'm saying? That's really the process. You know what I mean? If you want to stay and make some long lasting music in any genre, that's what you do. You elevate as a person, you elevate as an artist, and then at some point the music will elevate, because who makes the music? It's not the numbers, it's the people, you know.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's go ahead and shift into some of the most recent releases that are that have come across. So over the past couple of weeks, we've gotten a decent amount of new releases. We got new Mariah the Scientist, we got new Brent Faiyaz, we got
Did you play the whole Mariah the Scientist joint?
I haven't
Okay.
gotten a chance to listen to it.
Yeah, I
But
played one or two records.
see, this is my thing about Mariah that may be controversial. Like, she to me can't sing.
Right. Right.
I'm just gonna be straight up about it. She can't. I don't think that she's a great vocal artist, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't know how to make a good song, or that she doesn't have a good ear. And I say that to say that I do listen to her music. You know, like, I do think that she has a couple joints that slap, and I do think that she has been getting progressively better as an artist. But I think that, you know, my qualms with her are aligned with maybe some of the similar things that people may have to say about Brent, like singing off key, or why did you choose that melody, or you know, what is going on in here? How is this process going? So I mean, shout out to her, but that's how I feel.
You know, when you get technical, there are some problems with Mariah and there's some problems with Brent. But truth be told, the average listener don't really care about the technical. The shit just sound good. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mariah, you know, she provides melody, she provides harmony. She's not the best singer either. I agree with you. She ain't the best singer at all, but it works. You know what I mean? Like, Brent does the same thing. Brent sings better than Mariah 100%. But if you really want to get technical, he ain't the best singer either. You know what I mean? But it's like it's all on what sounds good, man. Drake think he Luther Vandross. He sings on every motherfucking song. Drake can't sing at all. Drake can hold a note, if anything, but that man cannot. He can't sing. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't that crazy. But he that's his bread and butter. Singing, rapping, because it worked.
All right, let's go ahead and get into the Drake album since we're here.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very polarizing album feel like the people who liked it, people who didn't. But there's a lot of controversy and conversation surrounding this latest Drake release, and I kind of want to get into your feelings about it.
In retrospect, after going, a few weeks listening to it, it's like the last two, three albums. And that comes with the album and the outrage from it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, we just do this thing, me included, where we get a Drake album, we're mad that Drake didn't do anything different, but then we're like, of course he didn't do anything different. It's Drake. You know what I mean? It's like Drake has a he has a format, he has a template, he has a process, he has a way of going about rhymes, he has a way of going about, singing. He has a certain kind of, way of just making records. And we like him for making these records, but we can't get mad at dude for, not trying to elevate it. I mean, if we can, but it's Drake. You know what I mean? It's like that's just what it is. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? And of course he can make a timestamp Drake album, 13 songs, 45 minutes, but will he? No. Can he? Definitely. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But for all the dogs, it's a I don't hate the album at all. It's a solid album. Way too long. And that's my one like huge gripe with Drake, and it's been that way since Views. He makes his albums just too damn long, man. I love Drake. I mean, but they're way too long. I really wish it would be in a nothing was the same type area, anywhere between 12 to like 15 joints. 20, 21, 22 joints is just not for the four straight release. We got it for Views, we got it for More Life, we got it for Scorpion, and we got it for Certified Lover Boy, Her Loss, and now this. That's six joints, all above 19 records. It's like, that's just way too much. But I get why he's doing it. The people love it, so it is what it is. But it's a cool album. It's not a bad album. It's cool.
Yeah, so I think that when the conversations surrounding Drake releases are always funny to me because they always become so loaded for some reason. And that has always confused me. And whenever I seem to challenge this, especially online, people get aggravated. And I myself am a Drake fan. I'll be the first to tell you that, but I'm not in any type of way trying to convince anyone to like music that they don't like. I just want people to admit when they don't like something, when they begin to not like an artist for things that happen outside of the music. Like, and that's, which is okay, but people always try to bring it back to the music. When it comes to this specific release, a lot of the criticism that I saw surrounding it was about how the subject matter hasn't necessarily changed, or the type of lyrics that he has featured on the album are a little bit more misogynistic than they usually are, or a complaint about the features. But what I don't really understand is, all of those things are rooted in valid criticism. Like, I think that you can make a valid argument out of any of the things that I've named. However, I think that people are way more critical of Drake in this category than maybe other artists of his caliber, or of his caliber, or that I've come in the past. And I use Hove as an example. When you go back and look at somebody like Hove, right? His in his earlier career, you get Blueprint. I mean, you get Reasonable Doubt, Volume
Right.
1, Volume 2,
Volume one,
Volume
volume two.
3, then you get Blueprint.
Dynasty, then Blueprint.
Dynasty, then Blueprint. Outside, I mean, for the most part, and yes, there is a story that happens from the first album to up into Blueprint, but whether depending on who you ask, you could say that the same case can be made in his in his and with his discography,
in terms of subject matter.
In terms of subject matter, the subject matter is developing and is growing over time, and I don't think that it's even fair to say that that hasn't happened on Drake's end. But for the most part, we're talking about the same types of content, up until about, I would say, about the Blueprint era, and then we get the same content from the Blueprint era basically until, I would say, Kingdom Come, and then Kingdom Come until now is like the third.
Well, there's a
So,
few more iterations than that, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
and you know, I don't understand what people are looking for, and then I even compare the two, and in another way, in the way that Drake is super versatile, meaning that he can rap, he can sing, he can do all of these different melodies, or work with all of these different artists from different regions in the world and the country alike, and make it all work. I feel like when it comes to Drake, people are overly critical of his music because of how versatile he is. So because he can go and do the stuff with the Canadians, or he could go down to South America, or he can go to the
In
Caribbean, or he,
Jamaica or whatever,
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, people begin to think that he now has to cater to the sound that they prefer from him. And that's really, I think, where the disconnect comes into play for me. Because, like, I don't think that the album was fantastic. I agree with you that it was too long, but I don't think that this album is any indication of a fall off. I think that, and I think that not based off of the quality, not based off the quality of this album specifically, but based off of the albums leading up to it. So previously we got Her Loss. Before that we got Certified Lover Boy, and no, before that we got Honestly Never Mind. Then before that,
About that album, fuck.
Certified Lover Boy, and then before that, Dark Lane Demos. That's not a bad, from Dark Lane Demos, from Dark Lane to now, I don't think there's really been a ton of bad music, you
No,
know.
Drake doesn't make bad music. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just get that. He doesn't make bad music. I think we just. Me, I'm just going to go off me first. I'm not going to go over what other people think. Me personally, as a Drake fan, I've been listening to Drake since 2008, 2009. I just want to hear dude rap. Like the whole timestamp thing, there is, like that's the whole cater thing, how he shouldn't cater to what other people think about. He just made music. But I think when timestamp Drake pops up, whenever we see that 9 a.m., whatever the fuck it is, whatever city, we know dude going to rap. And whenever he raps, everybody loves it, and I think all of us is like, bro, just give us this, just give us 10 to 12 joints. I don't give a fuck who make the beat, just give us 10 to 12 joints, 35 to 45 minutes. Just give us this, just give us this. Of course, throw one or two hits in there, you know what I mean? But just keep it in this level. We got the singing, we got the rap slash sing part, we got the emotional shit with the what a time to be alive. You got some emotional stuff in there. Take Care, got some stuff in there. Never the Same, got some emotional stuff in it. We know that. We just want you to rap. Because when that's the problem, this the discourse with Drake is like Drake is the rappy singing guy. But everybody that know, when dude rap, he's one of the greatest of all time when he actually feels like rapping. But it's like, yo, why do you get in that bag every blue moon on a timestamp joint? Just do it here. Just do it here. And there's been times where he's done that, but I want you to me personally, I want you to go full throttle, like, yo, just give me 12 timestamp joints. And that's it, just give me 12. I don't care who do it, 40, Take Keith, Metro Boomin, I don't care who, just rap for 35 minutes. Rap.
Yeah. I mean,
Like
no, continue.
the problem with that? What's the problem with that? That's all I'm saying. What's the problem with that? Drake is one of the greatest of all time. I think Drake is top 10 all time. But there's no stopping that. Like Drake is one of the GOATs, period. Like we know what it is with him. But his bread and butter has been rap sing, which he's done great with that. He's been doing it for 15, 16 years. But we all know that when dude rap, he's insane when he raps. The 8 a.m. in Charlotte shit is probably the best song on the album, and that's the one song where he raps. That's all I'm saying. I think real hip-hop fans, people that love hip-hop, people that love music, and they love Drake when he does that, we would go crazy if he comes out with a fucking, a album called fucking 1045 in Calgary, and it's 13 joints, and it's all
Word.
rapping. You know what I mean? It'd be great.
I agree. I agree. But I also don't think it's happening.
Oh, it's definitely not happening. It would have happened by now.
I think that I don't think that the way I think that people think that Drake doesn't want to cater to his audience. I personally think that he's trapped. Like, I think
No,
that
Drake is a
he's
brand. Drake knows that. It's a brand. It's
I
a
think
brand now. Like, he's sticking to that.
yeah. And I think that, and I say trapped in the sense that he's in a weird space where he's amongst the Taylor Swifts and Beyoncés of the world,
Most definitely.
but he can't, but his core audience still loves him for rapping. And, there isn't anybody, how many people are of the top tier artist level that are rappers? They're all singers outside of Jay-Z, but is Jay-Z even considered a rapper anymore? Is that guy's has so many hyphenates that,
Yeah, Jay is Jay.
right.
Jay is Jay. Yeah.
Like, so I feel like I say that in a sense, I say that he's trapped in the sense that like he may want to do a timestamp album, but in doing a timestamp album, you're alienating
You might lose certain
a
audiences
very
doing
large demographic of your
that.
audience that may say, oh, well, he's just going back to catering to black artists again. So we don't have no reason to pay attention to him. So he's in probably, so if I had to assume, I would probably say that, I mean, he probably wants, he would probably like to, because look at an album like If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. That was like the sweet spot. He wasn't
Brilliant.
too, big to not be able to not cater to his fans. And he was big enough that he could release an album that catered to a specific subset of his fans that everybody will go on to like. He can't do, he can't, he wouldn't be able to, he wouldn't even be able to put that same album out now. It
No,
would just be,
no.
it would be received completely differently.
If you're reading This Is Too Late, was it came out at the perfect time. And it was a perfect mixture of it was a maturation. I actually just thought it was off the cuff, and it might be kind of true. I might have to play to really see this makes sense. But If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, it's so far gone too. Like it's the same approach. You know what I mean? It has the right amount of rapping, the right amount of singing. There's some R&B joints here. There's some really good rap joints there. Like it caters to every single demographic of Drake's fan base, and it came out at the perfect time. And I think that was the beginning of a new iteration of Drake, where we had the first three albums, all monsters. Too Late was like, oh shit, this is a different era. And then we get the Time to Be Alive, we get Views, and I hated Views when it came out. Hated it. Love it now, but I hated it when it came out. Like it's just I think it came out at the perfect time, and maybe he is trapped. That's why I think he's taking a break, which is great. I think a good chunk of artists should take a break. I get the whole we got to keep dropping, we got to keep dropping, drop once a year. But like, it's just this rap shit is not easy. This artist shit is not easy. This music shit is not easy. He's been doing it, for the better part of 15, 16 years. He definitely should just take a good year and a half break. I mean, raise his kid. He gonna keep making money. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He gonna keep making money and come back 2025 strong. Maybe with a timestamp album, maybe with something else. I don't know, but we gonna be open to hear whatever he drops. Because at the end of the day, we love Drake. You know what I mean? We might hate Drake for what's going on in certain situations, but we hate him because we love him. It's like, yo, dude, man, it's just we fuck with you, dog. Just make this. You know what I mean? That's it.
Just make
You know.
this.
Just make this,
If that was it's funny. It's also funny the Drake and Hove comparison. Now I'm thinking about it, it's so funny because Hove wouldn't even respond. The Hove's response to people telling him what type of music to make will be completely different from Drake's. Like, nigga was
Yeah.
like, buy my old albums, nigga. Like,
Is that
no.
no Hov has
Like,
to
I
look for
ain't even
everything.
entertaining this. Like,
Hov was like, bro, I don't give a fuck what you saying. Like, if you want my old shit, just buy the old album. You know what I mean? Like, that's just really that's what cements that whole entire like point. Like, yo, if you want to hear my old shit, just play my old shit.
yeah.
I'm not going back to
And
that.
I think that Drake would be better off if he just said something of that nature too,
He will be perfectly fine if he said that.
like not addressing it at all, not
Yeah.
addressing that your fans, like not addressing that there are multiple categories of your fans that want different versions of the music that you make, I think is gonna be problematic, as especially as he gets older in his career, because it's like. You got art. You got people saying, "Oh, make an all rap album, or make an all R&B album." By the time he gets to the point in his career where he's like, "All right, I got enough shit off my back where I could create the type of album that I want, where the label is not really looking at me to keep the lights on," then is it might be too late. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody want a 40-year-old. I mean, at least it doesn't sound appealing at the point of where his life is right now. Of an R&B album from a 40-year-old Drake, like that. Don't I'm saying, like, there ain't too many popping 40-year-old R&B artists.
I think some of us is just fine with the old Drake, truthfully. Like
Yeah.
if he like we would that's why people look for it, all the dogs, like, oh yeah, this is cool, but this ain't for me. And it's perfectly fine because I got So Far Gone. I got Views. I got Another One Sam. I got all these albums that I love. I'll just stick with this while you take a year and a half break. You know what I mean? A lot of people have that same sentiment. So that's what happened, man. I love Drake.
Yeah. Well, moving on. What are you excited for? That should be rearing its head by the end of this year, project wise.
The Hillbillies. I can't wait for this Hillbillies album. Oh my God. Then it's not even the album per se. It's going to be, I can't wait to see like white hip hop fans that dissect every single Kendrick Lamar lyric absolutely have their heads blown off when they realize that it's none of those dissecting lyrics in the album. It's just going to be just Kendrick and his cousin having fun for 30 minutes, and it's going to be fucking incredible. They're going to be like, oh my God, there's no substance. But for shut the fuck up, bro. This music is going to be great no matter how you slice it. Kendrick is going to do the medicine applesauce thing like he always do, create great hits. And there's gonna be some substance in there, bro. You're just worried about this shit is Pulitzer Prize worthy. Dog, we got five albums like that. Kendrick Lamar is he's top three favorite rapper of all time. I love Kendrick. Been playing him since 2008, 2009. Actually, no, a little bit later, 2011. We've gotten Good Kid, Mad City, which is a fucking hood movie. To Pimp a Butterfly is a case study on being black in America. Damn is a fucking chore to listen to. I love that album, but it's a fucking chore. And Mr. Morale is a goddamn therapy session. That shit is heavy. I want my man to have fun. That's why I can't wait to hear this Hillbilly album because Keem is the perfect guy for that. He's the little cousin. Like, yo, bro, come on. Let's hop in this booth and let's just say top of the morning, top of the morning, top of the morning, and let's go up, bro. Let's have fun with this shit, bro. We're making too much money to be this fucking serious. So yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for this Hillbilly album. It's gonna be like 12 songs, 30 minutes, just absolute ignorance. Crazy beats, incredible flows, incredible rhymes. It's gonna be incredible. It's gonna be incredible. Can't wait.
What do you think is the over under on Kendrick, addressing some of the hate that's been coming his way on his new Hillbillies project?
He might shoot a couple shots. He might holler at him. Well, one thing about Kendrick is he listens to everything. You know what I mean? He may not say something, but he listens. So he might send a couple shots to some of the audiences that are sending him hate. He might send a couple shots at some of these rappers that's trying to shoot shots at him because he's not the diss rapper per se, but he's definitely listening. I mean, come on, the control verse tell you everything. Like he listens, you know. So I mean, he might
The
not.
fact that
I don't
that's
care if
still
he
not on
do.
DSPs is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it might be a sample thing. I don't know what's going on, but
And then
it's
that
honestly too
other,
late for it to be on DSPs.
yeah, people,
Yeah, but I
yeah.
mean. It's. I think he might shoot some shots. He might not. I don't really care for that, man. I just want to hear the effect that Keem has on Kendrick because we heard it on Range Brothers. We heard it on Family Ties. We heard it on oh, what's the other joint I'm thinking of right now? Hey, I can't think of the third joint. Yeah, I'm blanking. But yeah, like it's whenever Keem works with Kendrick, it's always like just some fun sounding. The Hillbillies, yeah, but the Hillbillies joint. Just is whenever you hear them two, they're just having fun, man. And I love it. I love it so much because Kendrick is he's like that. He's actually a really crazy funny dude. Is that you don't get that with these heavy ass albums he's dropping every 3, 4 years. So I can't wait for it. But yeah, I'm waiting on Hillbillies, this next Vince album, this next Tyler album. Who else? King, Tyler, Vince, Kendrick. Yeah, just those right now. Honestly, just those right now. Kenny Mason. I love Kenny Mason. And every time you drop a new album, I love whatever he's playing, whatever he's dropping. Yeah, that's it right now. Those five.
All right. So now, as you said, you had a few albums listed throughout that released throughout this year that you wanted to touch on that. What's some of your favorites?
Well, I already said Bear Sugar, Rags Rich Now. If you don't know, please get to knowing because that shit. Like I was when I was on the, when I was in the car with Drew, I was like, bro, this shit sound like a Ryan Leslie album. He was like, bro, definitely do. Like it sound like a updated 2023 Ryan Leslie album. The beats are crazy. You play that with your shorty all day, and it's gonna rock. That's my album of the year so far. Gunna's album was crazy. I think V's had an incredible album. Shout out to V's. That Ganger album was really good. Doja Cat albums shocked the fuck out of me. I was like, bro, this album's actually pretty good because I don't listen to Doja Cat. That shit was cold. Brent's album, that Larger Life shit is. I don't even. Brent's crazy. Tizo shit is incredible. Mike and Wiki's album with The Alchemist is really good. Faith is a Rock, that was solid. Cleo Soul's album was great, all both of them. Sampha's album was good. Let me see who else. Nas, which is crazy. God's been out since 1992, still making great music.
Crazy.
Nas's album was good. James Blake's album was good, Playing Robots in the Heaven. Black Milk's Everybody Good album. That's in my top five, top 10 for sure. Killer Mike album. And I'll name one more. That Terrace Martin album that just dropped. That Terrace Martin and Alex Isley. I forget the name of it. I left my heart. I left my heart in the yeah, I left my heart in Ladera.
Yes,
Woo.
sir.
And the James Fauntleroy EP. Woo. Terrace Martin ain't playing. But yeah, that's some of my favorites, man. Some of my favorites. But the five off the top. Is Tizos, Black Milk, V's, a Rags Original, and Brent. Like those five right there are my favorites right now for sure. I play those a lot, a lot.
Word. All right. Let me see. I mean, I don't have a I personally don't have a list, right? But I can definitely go through a bit of what I was listening to this year because I try to do a playlist every year of the music that I like and just keep it updated on the regular. But play like it's music releases so often that it's hard to keep
Yes,
up.
it's hard to
So the Daniel Caesar album, definitely a highlight of
forgot
the
to put
year.
that there. That was good. That was a good album, man.
Daniel Caesar definitely was a has been a highlight of the year so far. The Victoria Monet album, I'm loving. She's a fantastic artist, and wish she would just get a little bit more recognition from the extended industry. For me, the West Side Gun album,
Yep, that's a good one.
wonderful, wonderful. The Stove God cook, he him and Stove God don't miss.
You gotta drop,
So
man.
yeah, most definitely. What else we got? We got the Leon Thomas album, the Electric
Yeah,
Dusk.
I forgot about that joint. Yeah, that's a good one.
I enjoyed that a lot this year. And in terms of rap, man, there hasn't been a lot of hip hop albums. I'm not gonna lie. Destin
Did
Conrad,
Don Toliver drop this
he
year?
did. Don
He
Toliver
did?
did drop
Okay,
this year. He did. He
yeah.
did. Destin Conrad, he just dropped an album,
I gotta play
Submissive.
that.
That is really dope. That it's that's pretty fresh though. And yeah, that's not. I mean, that's a little bit over the course of the year, but that's been like a lot of the highlights, I would say, for my year. Music moves so fast these days that it's hard to keep up.
It's definitely hard to keep up for sure. It's definitely very, very hard to keep up. So, I mean, if you gotta take your time within certain albums, do that, because it's just gonna be here. You ain't gotta play everything this year. You know what I mean? This year, you can definitely take your time with it. Things catch up on you. You know what I mean? So yeah, don't trip.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the Travis album dropped this year, I enjoyed that a lot, but that Astroworld album was just on like a different plane of
Different level.
existence. Like
Yeah,
it
it's
was
a good
like
album, but yes, yeah, it's Astro is really, really good.
just going through, we got a couple more. So Mick Jenkins dropped an album. I thought that that was dope. Conway dropped the album earlier this year. I thought that was dope as well. Won't He Do It? Was Joey Badass this year or last year? I think that was last year.
Joey Badass.
Yeah, I think that
It
was
was last
last
year. It was last year. It was last year. It was last year. Yeah.
But he dropped Fallen. Yes, he dropped a single Fallen this year. That was dope. I liked the music Soul Child Hit Boy album. That had a
That was
couple of
cool.
joints on it.
That
It
was cool.
wasn't honestly, it didn't hit the way I thought it was going to, but I still enjoyed a couple of records off of there. What else did we get? We got a Jahzy album. I thought that was dope. We got Janelle Monáe's album earlier this year. I really enjoyed that. And yeah, I think that's where I'll leave off.
Fair, fair.
I think it was, I think we had a good year for music. I think this year
We
was a
did.
good year. It definitely started late, but definitely started off late. But once we got into the swing of things leading into the summer, I thought that we did a pretty good job.
We finished off, we finished off better than we finished better than we started. For sure.
Yeah. So I guess that that's where we could leave that off at. All right, good brother. This has been a great, insightful conversation. I appreciate you coming on the pod with me.
No problem. No problem, man.
All right, and we'll catch up again on another day.
Fair enough.
All right, folks, this has been another episode of Versus Mike History. I will catch you guys at the next episode. Peace.